thankful for our brother James that we laid to rest yesterday, Lord, knowing that he is with you and knowing, Father, that you're embracing Jimmy's heart right now, Kathy, Will, all the family. Lord, I also ask you to surround my wife right now and all of her sisters if they're in hospice with their mother. Lord, just surround them as I know you are. And I know that Becky's such an encouragement, Father, to each and every one of the family members. And Lord, help me this morning to teach your word truthfully and accurately. Bring all things to my remembrance. May the sheep of your pasture, may their heart and their ears be open to the word of your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. I want you to do me a favor this morning and turn in your Bibles to the New Testament letter or epistle of Philemon. Now, you may have never even heard a sermon from Philemon. It's you go to 1st, 2nd, Timothy, Titus, and then right after Titus, you'll find the little letter that Paul has written to his beloved friend Philemon. Now, let me say in preface this morning, we just finished the book of Romans, and we normally on Sunday morning, we teach through the books of the Bible. I will probably start maybe next week or maybe a couple of weeks, and we'll start probably in, we may go to the Gospel of John, or we may go right on through to 1 Corinthians. I don't know yet. I'm still praying about that. But this morning is a personal word to the people that belong here to Calvary Chapel. So if you're visiting with us, it's so good to have you, but I'm going to be talking, I'm talking to everyone, but I'm talking to primarily the people here that belong to Calvary. You know, Philemon, this little book here, or letter, I should say, you know, was written, of course, from prison. This is called one of the prison epistles, if you will. But what's so wonderful about this, this is the only private letter and personal letter we have of Paul's to a dear friend named Philemon. Philemon means kind or a person who is very affectionate, who cares. And so here we find Paul in this letter that he's writing, he's pleading for the life, if you will, or the forgiveness or the return of his runaway slave, Onesimus, who ran away. Now, the topic this morning has nothing to do with Onesimus. It has to do with this church here. So let's begin this morning with the title of our sermon, Will You Be a Philemon, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes and he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, that may be Philemon's wife, probably is, and to Archippus, which is could be his son, and he says, our fellow soldier. So you have a fellow laborer, you have a fellow soldier, to the church in your house. That church, Philemon's church, was located in his home, of course, in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very personal letter. Did you notice that Paul, he did not open up saying, Paul, an apostle. He didn't do that at all. He opened up and he said, just simply Paul. And he says, I'm a prisoner of Christ. This is my first imprisonment. In other words, I'm not the prisoner of Caesar. I'm not the prisoner of Rome. I serve the Lord. If I'm in chains, I'm in chains to Jesus. Amen. And that's what he was saying here this morning, this very personal letter, not just to the three people mentioned, but also to the entire church in Philemon's house. Remember that back in the early first century that the Christians didn't have, say, church buildings per se. They met in homes. They knew nothing of bookstores and nothing wrong with bookstores, but nothing of bookstores and gyms and bowling alleys. You know what I'm saying. Are you all with me this morning? Okay. Now, what they did know, and they certainly didn't have any money, let's put it that way, but what they did have is still available to every believer and every church today, and that is the power of the divine helper of the church, the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 4. He says, and I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which he demonstrates, which he shows toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. Well, how would you like that to be written about us? Amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Okay, you're going to have to help me because I'm very tired. How's that sound? I need your encouragement, believe me. You know, listen, that would be wonderful if we would say that others were just talking about, man, have you been down to Calvary Chapel? Those people, they love you so much. They're so full of faith, and it's toward whoever comes in. Notice that word here, Paul uses in verse 5, the word hearing. He says, listen, people have been coming up and sharing with me all about Philemon, the way you love people and your faith that you have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll tell you what, listen now. Every Christian should ask themselves this question. If you interact or whenever you interact with a believer or an unbeliever, do they see Jesus in you? Do they feel the love of Jesus in you? That's a very important question because that is who we're, the light of the world, amen? We're the salt of the earth. We should be shining, and no matter unbeliever or believer, they should see Jesus in us and our love and our faith toward them. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Thank goodness that's not speaking of us this morning. Verse 6, which is really 6 and 7, our primary scripture, it says that the sharing of your faith, and we could say sharing of your faith and love, because that's what he was demonstrating, this man called Philemon, that the sharing of your faith may become effective, and it tells us how, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now listen very carefully. A very misunderstood verse. And this verse right here, every part of this verse demands interpretation, especially for what I'm speaking about this morning, but for you to be able to grasp it in your hearts the correct way. When it says the word sharing there, that word in the Greek language like is the name after our cafe, the Koinonia Cafe. It means to fellowship with. It means deep, deep intimacy. It means participation. It means communication in love. It means to share in, participate with, our fellowship with. That's what that word sharing means. It's koinonia, very important word this morning. But then it says the sharing of your faith. Now, if you have an NIV Bible, I don't fault you for that at all. I mean, that's fine. No, I'm serious. You know, and I'm not even going to make a joke after that either. So if you do have an NIV Bible, they are incorrect in the way they translated this scripture, because they are suggesting when it says the sharing of your faith means evangelism. That's not what this text is speaking of at all. There's not any of that there. Paul is not encouraging Philemon to be an evangelist. Sharing of your faith, now listen to me, sharing of your faith in this context here is not evangelism. When we say, what are you doing? Well, I'm sharing my faith. You won't find that in the Word. In other words, sharing the gospel. You won't find that at all. What they're talking about here is sharing with one another. And so this phrase, sharing your faith that we hear today, is not found in the Word of God, except right here. But it's found, it's a phrase that Christians have created themselves. Okay. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because it's very important to understand this scripture and what it implies and what it means. If you study the New Testament, you'll find that the words share, shares, sharing is listed, mentioned maybe, I think, in the New Testament 13 times. And out of the 13 times that the word is mentioned, that word koinonia, it has absolutely nothing to do with preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel. The gospel, when you study out the Word of God, we preach the gospel, we teach about the gospel, we proclaim and herald the gospel. Amen? That's what we are called to do. So it's very important that we get a grasp on this scripture. The word effective there is the word active or the word powerful. And the next word where it says, every good thing in you, Philemon. Now, we know that there's no good thing that resides in the flesh. Paul told us that. So what is he talking about? When he says, every good thing in you, He's saying this. He's saying the knowledge that you have, meaning that experiential knowledge, that's what that word means, that you've now that you're growing in Christ, that you know when you start realizing everything that is good in you, which comes from Christ Jesus, because you're in Christ Jesus, man, you want to be effective, you want to be active, you want to share that with other people. Amen? That's what that means. The more a believer understands who they are in Christ Jesus, man, your life is totally changed. So that's why that Paul used that phrase. You know, in Christ is a very important a phrase in the Bible. You know, we have been justified because of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? In other words, just as if we had never, ever sinned. A believer's standing before God because they are in Christ Jesus is absolutely perfect in the eyes of the living God. Not on our own merit, but on the merit of our Lord and our Savior himself, what he did. He paid for our sins. We're cleansed with the blood of Christ. And then his righteousness, as you know, that word imputed, not imparted, his righteousness is now imputed over to us. What belonged to him is now put into our bank account. When God sees us, he sees us in Christ completely and complete. Amen? Boy, that is a very important word. You know, to be chosen by God, liberated by Jesus, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, be sons and daughters of God. Paul said, all things are yours. Boy, to know who we are in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 3, verse 1, it tells us that blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that's not for the by and by, that is for the here and now. Amen? We already have all the things, all the blessings that God's going to give us. We appropriate those blessings by believing God's word. Now, with all that being said, the Bible talks about us being in Christ as a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, there's that word again, be in Christ, he says, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So to be in Christ is to be all that he is. Did Jesus please God the Father? Yes, in everything he did. We are in Christ, so we now, God says, I'm pleased. Did Jesus overcome the world? Yes, we have overcome the world because we're in Christ. Now look at verse 7 of Philemon. For we have great joy and consolation or comfort in what? In your love. And he tells us why now. Watch this. Because the hearts, plural, of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Now, that word refreshed is the same word used in Jesus, you know, when he said, come unto me and I shall give you rest and so forth. You know, you that are heavy laden. In other words, Jesus said, come to me and I will refresh you. That's exactly the same word here. When Paul says, Philemon, man. All the saints of God, you're refreshing each and every one of them. You know what? Would to God that each of us would be a Philemon, amen? Kind in our heart, affectionate toward people. And, you know, a Philemon is one who refreshes those who are hurting, maybe discouraged, maybe lonely. They need a hand up, you know what I mean? Whatever they may need. You see that and you just immediately go there. It says the hearts of the saints were refreshed by this man called Philemon. He gave them rest and renewal to those who were troubled, whatever they were facing. And it tells us how he did so. It says, by sharing all those good things that was in him, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He started telling the saints of God who they were. He was giving them a word and lifting them up. You know, boy, I'll tell you something. Sometimes we all need a word, amen? Yeah, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, listen carefully, but a good word makes it glad. In other words, it makes your heart glad. It refreshes you. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, it says that we should know how to speak a word in season to those who are weary, to those who need to be refreshed. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. Scripture does not say in any way, in any form, that Philemon was an elder, that Philemon was a deacon, that Philemon was an evangelist, or that Philemon was the pastor. He wasn't. He wasn't at all. He was just a regular believer. He didn't have a title. He had a house. He must have been a very well-to-do businessman. He was a very kind person. Everybody that he met came into his home. He loved them. He could immediately discern if their head needed to be lifted up. So here in that house church, it was just Philemon said, here's the house. And I don't, you know, whoever the pastor was, I don't know. But what I do know is this, it wasn't Philemon. And my question is, as we look at all that, well, we need to be a Philemon this morning. And look what he did. Look at verse 6 again. And we do so by what he did. Verse 6, that the sharing of your faith and love may become powerful or active or effective. And it tells us how. By that experiential knowledge, that growing in Christ's likeness, knowing that about the here-ness and the now-ness of God in our life, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you, to refresh those who need to be refreshed. And I'll tell you something, I have never met a saint of God who at one time in their life didn't need a little bit of refreshment, amen? A little bit of renewal, if you will, a time to where we pick them up and so forth. The devil, we're in a war, and you already know. No, listen, those that are struggling, they need to be refreshed. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:19, listen carefully, it says speaking, that word, or sharing, you ready? Say that word with me, sharing. Sharing, very, very important word. So sharing or speaking to one another. And it tells us how. It says psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly or abundantly. In other words, have ample room in your heart, in your life, the Word of God. In all wisdom, and here it comes, teaching or instructing, admonishing, which means to warn, one another. And then again, psalms and hymns and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving Jesus Christ and giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now listen carefully. You may be saying, Bill, where in the world are you going? I'm so glad you asked. Because when we look at this, you know, you might be saying, well, Bill, we meet here. I only come on Sundays. I don't come on Wednesdays. Or you may be, that's only 2 hours a week. When are we going to have time to do all these kinds of things? I mean, you know, we're in, we're out. We don't see each other and all that. Well, you know what? If the only way that we can do verse 6 and 7 is to spend more time with each other, isn't it? There's no other way. You see, our church body, that's what I mean, I'm speaking to Calvary Chapel this morning. Our church body is so spread out all over. I mean, do you know that we span over four counties with people that attend church here? And that's, you know, that's why I asked for your zip codes, remember? I wanted to know where everybody was coming from. I mean, we have people that drive from Alvoid. We have people that drive from Dallas and Garland and Duncanville, DeSoto, Grandview, Joshua, Mineral Wells. Hello? Would you drive from? I wouldn't drive from, you know? Isn't God good? We have one couple. Listen, I know them. They drive nearly 2 hours every Sunday to attend this fellowship. They love this place. I don't love it that much. No, I'm teasing. Yes, I do. But think about that for a minute. Two hours. You know how much money and gas that is? I'm going, dear Lord, it just blesses me. You know, I mean, it blesses me. So again, that's why I ask for your zip codes. We did a study of everywhere, all over. You know, people way, like Nakona and all those kind of places. Say, okay, how do we get everybody together? How do we create community? How are we able to get together to share with one another? And so forth. You say, well, Bill, we have, you know, some home fellowships. Yeah, but it's not working that well. Listen, when you leave here today, you're going to find in the lobbies a sign-up sheet. Now, don't let that scare you. And it's called Share Group. The word share is koinonia, the same word that I'm talking about from Philemon this morning. And there you're going to find the sign-up sheets, and you're also going to find that where share groups are needed in specific zip codes and how many share groups are needed in specific zip codes. Now, so if you live, say, in one of those zip codes and you feel that, hey, you know what, I'd like to open up my home for a share group, or I'd like to open up my home for a share group and lead the group, then you can sign up out there if the Lord is so leading you to do so. But I'm going to say something to you, and it's not a criticism. But, you know, I have tried over the last 25 years now to try, as Lord, I've listened to you to create community. I cannot create community. Do you know that? I can impart God's vision from God's word. I can impart it to you, but I can't implement it. Only the church can implement it. Amen? Oh, thank you. I mean, come on. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm talking to Calvary this morning, all right? Yeah, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, if you want to try again, that's okay with me. I'm game for it. So you say, well, Bill, what exactly is a share group? I don't know if I like that name. It's where you come and tithe, okay? No. No, it's putting into practice Philemon. Will you be a Philemon? Will you be tender? Will you be affectionate? Will you open up your home? Will you be a Philemon? Verse 6 and 7, you know, refreshing other people. So the words there, home fellowship, are going to be replaced now with the words share group. Now, share group, let me give you the acronym there or whatever it is, and they're all biblical. It's share, which means sharing God's word from our hearts and homes and refreshing the hurting and each other. I wrote a letter to all the Calvary staff about a month ago, told them what the Lord had shared with my heart, and I want to read just a part of what I sent them. I said to the staff, I said, listen, the main purpose of a share group is to simply share with one another the word that God has placed upon their hearts that week in order to build one another up. Amen? Is that biblical? Absolutely. True, honest fellowship, praying one for another, making room for the gifts of the Spirit will play a vital role in our share groups. That's all biblical, each and everything I just said. Here's what happened. As you know, I go on early morning walks. For me, the earlier the better. I don't like the sun to be up. I like to be just, that's the way it is. And I pray and sing, and I have a headset, and I listen to songs, and you know what I mean? The whole bit. Well, on one of my walks, as I'd been praying about creating, Lord, how do we create more community at Calvary Chapel? How do we really connect with one another and so spread out, so far apart? And as I was walking, I was listening to this song, and it just so moved my heart that I wanted to share that song with my wife, who was at home. You understand? So I have an iPhone, but I only know certain things. But I was trying, I said, no, how do I send this to her? Does that mean, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not a, you can look at me and see I'm not a tech quiz, okay? You know, and so I looked down, and all of a sudden I saw that arrow, and it said share. Man, I hit that thing. It went right to her. No. It did something for me. And then the moment I did that, here's what I did. When I sent it, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if only when I preach your word, if I could get the word of God into their inbox just as quickly as I sent that to my wife. Because what moved me, I wanted to share with her. Does that make sense? Well, see, that's what a share group is. When it's God has moved you during the week and you want to go in there and say, let me tell you about every good thing which is in me, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me be effective. Let me tell you, let me share what God did. So in order to refresh you, to increase your faith, amen? Are you listening with me? That's the purpose of that. And I knew the moment that that happened, that's when the Lord wanted me to make some changes. And then after I prayed about it at length before I make a decision. I'm very slow, believe it or not. Most of you know that. Not just mentally, okay? Now, share groups are going to be devoted to Philemon 6 and 7, yes, but they're also going to be devoted to four things, biblical things found in God's Word. I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 42. Remember Peter's first sermon, the first gospel sermon, the first Christian gospel sermon ever preached was in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost. So Pentecost morning, there were 120 people in the upper room. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Peter preaches this sermon on Pentecost afternoon, and then 3,000 people are saved after they hear Peter's sermon. So now you have 3,120 believers. Now watch this, beginning in verse 42, about all these believers and how they were devoted. It says, "And they continued steadfastly," that word means to be devoted to, "they continued steadfastly in the word of God," or the apostles' doctrine, or the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. So here you have over 3,000 people, men, women, children, all of them together, and they're all in agreement. Wouldn't that be incredible for that to happen here? Each believer, all 3,000 of them, 3,100 of them, all of them, listen to me, they were devoted to God's word, devoted to it. Man, each believer said, "I want to be taught God's word." And you know what? All they had was the Old Testament. No New Testament book. It hadn't been written yet. Are you following me? The Lord followed up on his promise. He said, "Listen, remember what Jesus told him? He said, I'll bring all things to your remembrance. Don't worry about it." And the Holy Spirit, of course, helped him to do that. Can you imagine being back then? No man-made programs, just totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, every share group will be devoted to God's word. Amen? Is that biblical? Absolutely is this. Now listen, back then in the book of Acts, the first century church, day of Pentecost, they didn't have leather-bound Bibles with their names on it. Do you understand? They didn't have any of that. No, listen, I pray that Philippians or Philemon 6 and 7, I pray that it'll never happen unless we are devoted to the word of God that God has exalted above his very name. So without God's word, we know there's no growth. We know that there's absolutely no light. The psalmist has written in Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your lamp, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." So without God's word, we're blind. We're not really knowing where we're going in this dark world. Without the word of God, man is incomplete. Without the word of God, man is unequipped. No, we need the word of God desperately. Without God's word, there's absolutely no transformation, you know. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12, 2. So all those things. Now, they were devoted to God's word, and so will the share groups be. Look at the next one now. And they were devoted not only to the word of God, but to fellowship. Now, there's this word again. That word fellowship is the same word used in Philemon verse 6 for the word sharing. And that word again is koinonia, that deep unity, that deep fellowship that we have. So they devoted themselves to one another in koinonia, that intimacy, that fellowship, and so forth. So the early church there, they cared one for another. In other words, they were all Philemons. They all were kind. They all were filled with love. They were all devoted to God's word. They devoted to one another. That's one of the greatest needs in the 21st century church, because the 21st century church and believer, most of them believe we don't need one another. I'm telling you what, we need one another. And the days that will come in the years that lie ahead, if the rapture doesn't occur, we will desperately find ourselves needing one another. Oh, listen, the Bible tells us in Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Boy, what a blessing that is. And here, this church, the early church, they no longer loved the world. No, they were in love with one another. So, you know, they wanted to be around one another. The question is, do believers today, do we want to be around one another? We don't sit on the front porch anymore. We sit on the back porch. We don't want anybody seeing us. We don't put a little chain link fence around the house anymore. We put boards around the house. You know what I'm saying? I don't want my neighbor looking at me. Are y'all with me? The Bible tells us in Romans 12:5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We need one another. Over 50 times in the New Testament, one another and each other is used. It'd be good to look all of those up. It says in Romans 15:7, it says, therefore receive one another as Christ also received us, welcomed us, accepted us. So they were devoted to God's word. They were devoted here to the unity of caring for one another, and they were also devoted to something else. It says to the breaking of bread. Verse 46 tells us that they were breaking bread from house to house because they didn't have churches. So I don't think it's referring to the Lord's Supper exactly. It's probably referring to the fact that it's a meal was supplied, they all ate together, and then afterwards they partook of the Lord's Supper. So share groups are going to be a place where we, every time we meet, we remember the Lord and all that he did for us. We're going to look back, we're going to look ahead, and we're going to look within, as it says to do when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So it's going to be a place of deep intimacy each time that we meet. Verse 42. Again, it says, and they continued steadfastly, or they were devoted here to the breaking of bread, and this next one, in prayers. So they were devoted to praying one for another, praying to the Lord, finding his presence. Share groups is a place that will be devoted to praying one for another, because we know that prayer is the work. 2017, boy, this is the passionate, persistent, fervent year, where we fervent time, where we're praying one for another, praying to the Lord, and so forth. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says that we should be praying without ceasing. That doesn't mean in every second, but be during the day. We're people of prayer. That persistent prayer, meaning intense effort, if you will, never giving up, no matter the obstacle or whatever we're facing, we're going to press through. Just like Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then that fervent prayer. That's that hot, boiling prayer, or literally it means to be consumed by prayer. Remember the verse from James that the effective, it says, pray ye one for another that you may be healed, for the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, speaking of Elijah, availeth much, is very powerful. And that's part of the things that we're doing. In Romans 12:12, it says, continuing steadfastly, or literally devoted in prayer. Prayer is the work. We have not because we ask not. Share groups will be devoted to prayer. It's going to be a place to be refreshed. It's going to be a place for the gifts of the Spirit to move. In verse 43, it says, and then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. That's because Jesus was in their midst. Amen. That's the fruit of that kind of devotion. Isn't that amazing? Man. They were going, I mean, that fear means that they were in awe, the divine presence of God right there in their midst. They weren't in awe of some church program or a building. They were in awe of what God was doing, and they all believed. And all who believed, look at this, they were together. They were in unity, had all things in common. They sold their possessions and their goods. They divided it among all who had need. You want to do that right now? It's a joke, okay? So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart. Boy, that gladness. Coming together, loving one another, developing relationships, getting to know each other. You know, if we're in service, really the only thing we probably know about the person in front of us is the back of their head. You know what I'm saying? No, listen. The Bible says in Psalm 92:4, it says, for you, Lord, oh, you've made me glad. You've made me glad. You know, the Lord wants to make us glad. Amen? And we have to allow that to happen. Listen, the church then lived in the here-ness and the now-ness of God. And they loved the Lord and they served the Lord. They were one. They were in unity. Look at verse 47. And praising God and have favor with all people, the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved. Isn't that great? Didn't say the apostles added. It says the Lord added. You see, the Lord is always working with his body, the church. Amen? Now, with all that being said, this morning, I set aside this day because I finished Romans and I had this opportunity to speak to the church. You know, I think that creating community is no doubt one of the hardest things that a pastor faces. He hears the complaint that, well, I just can't get connected. But then and I say, okay, well, what do I do? And the thing is that, you know, then just like somebody says, well, we need this kind of ministry. And all of a sudden we have that kind of ministry, but they don't even attend it. I'm speaking from my heart this morning, guys. If you want to draw closer to one another, then you're going to have to do something about it. We're spread out all over this land here, man. It's unbelievable. And surely if we have share groups in different parts of the areas that are located in those zip codes that are needed because people live there and we open up, then we'll see what the Lord will do. But I leave that. I've been obedient today. I've shared what I know God wanted me to share. I'm just leaving it right in your lap and because I've done my part. And let's see if you want to do your part. Now, that's not producing guilt or pressure. I want you to do whatever God wants you to do. But out there in the lobbies, you're going to find, you know, the sign-up sheets and so forth. My question is just simply, you know, will you be a Philemon? You know what Paul told Philemon at the end of that little letter? In verse 22 of Philemon, you know what Paul said, hey, Philemon, prepare a guest room for me. Open up your home. In other words, make your home a share group. That's what I take from that. You know, God has given us our homes to refresh other people. Amen? That's called the gift of hospitality, a place where people can come and maybe they're hurting and they've gone through a divorce, they've lost a loved one, to where they don't feel isolated, where they feel loved. So it's up to you. I pray that you want to help create community. So go to the lobby. We're going to pray and close out. But then you can go to the lobby and see if you live in that zip code where you'll be where we need a share group home. Now, a training class will, of course, be offered, and we'll figure it all. It'd be very easy. It's not going to be hard. You know, some of the share groups will be kid-friendly, and some of them, meaning, will not be kid-friendly. That means with kids and no kids. You know what I'm saying. So with all that being said, I'm going to close in prayer. And if you need prayer, you know what? Down here at the altar, after we close out in song, you know, you're going to find a lot of Philemons down here that will love you and pray for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Sunday that you have given unto us. And Lord, you know, I pray only for your perfect will. Only your perfect will. Lord, I know that maybe some of us didn't want to hear about share groups this morning. But Lord, I believe it's in your plan or I would not have taught it. So I leave everything now in the hands of your saints, Lord, knowing that you can direct them just as well as you can direct me. And Father, we love you, we praise you, and again, we lift up Jimmy to you, Father, for just to bless her and embrace her heart, and for Becky and Lord and all of her sisters there with her mother right now, again, just be with them. And Lord, bless your people now, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? God is good. Amen. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to depart to the visitor center. And as I do, know that I love you tenderly. And if you would like to speak with me or if you're visiting for the first time, I'm going to be right over there. So let's sing to the Lord. You ready for that one? Here we go. All right. Praise the Lord. Oh.